Hi, this is Jovi.
And this is Charlie.
And you're listening to
Bed Crime Stories. This is a weekly true crime podcast where we pour ourselves a drink and we take turns telling each other the stories that keep us up at night.
All night long.
Oh, no. Man, look, it's been so long.
It has. It really has
been. Doing so good.
I have. And I couldn't hold it back anymore. We need one of those signs that say X amount of days without incident.
We do.
Then we could change it back to zero because I just ruined it. But whatever. It's fine. Or how many X amount of episodes without incident. You know. But it's fine. Whatever. You're just a hater. I understand.
I understand.
It's fine. Whatever.
It's so hard because we just record an episode, so there's literally nothing to talk about.
There isn't anything to talk about. Oh, actually, I do have one thing, and then we could go ahead and jump in. And
sure. Because
I just remembered. I'm reading this book, and I got it because it's about a woman who was a journalist turned true crime podcaster. And she helps solve a murder and a disappearance. So this is a very good book. I recommend it. It's called Dark Corners by Megan Golden. And it's wonderful. So
nice.
You like true crime, you like true crime podcasts, you like us, you should read it. And it takes place in Florida.
Fun. Look at that. It's like literally they wrote it about us.
Right?
Minus the whole, you know, like journalist, there's two of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, solving crimes. We don't do that either.
Right. No. But it is. And that's honestly, I'm not going to lie, that is why I chose that book for the month. And I'm like, yeah.
Nice.
But no, it's very good. It's very well written. So 10 out of 10 would recommend. But yeah, that's all I have to say, because we pretty much covered everything.
We did.
With the true crime headline episode.
We did.
We could not waste any time and just jump right in if you want.
Yeah. If you're listening to this the night that we are releasing it or the day after we release it, I am currently on vacation.
Yes.
And it's so lovely.
Yes,
Charlie. I'm not even there yet, and I'm telling you it's lovely because I need a vacation so badly.
Well, that and Charlie is actually feeling, you know, fall weather and smelling fall and seeing the changing of the leaves and like seeing apple orchards and like the real deal, not this Florida bullshit where you go to Publix and you buy your fucking pumpkin off of a haystack. That's not how this works.
It's not how it works.
Mm-mm.
Exactly. So excited. Ugh.
So Yay. Jealous. So jealous.
Yes, that's
so
what I'm literally doing this very moment is enjoying the weather.
Yes.
Yay.
Yay.
Oh. Okay. So I have a bed crime story for everybody this evening.
Woohoo!
And I was inspired to do this particular crime to tell you about. I was scrolling on the Tiki Takis, and there is a guy that I found. His account is he makes, eats, and reviews the last meals of famous death row executed people.
Oh, you sent me a video of his, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah,
I think
I followed him too. Yeah.
So just very interesting. And he talked about one that I had never heard about before. And I decided to tell you all the story of Rhonda Bell Martin, the rat poison familicide murderer.
I've never heard of this one either. Interesting.
So got a couple of sources.
Okay.
First is good old Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had Murderpedia.
Nice.
Then I found an article on AL.com, which is Alabama.com. Mm-hmm. And it is an article by a gentleman named Jeremy Gray. And the article is called Crime Does Not Pay, The Final Words, Meals of Alabama's Executed Inmates.
Hmm.
And an excerpt from the book called The Penalty is Death, U.S. Newspaper Coverage of Women's Executions by Marlon Shipman.
So you got like fancy ass sources.
Yeah.
Look at you go. Okay.
Thanks. All right. Rhonda Bell Martin was born around 1907 in Alabama to James Robert Tomley and Mary Frances Tomley. There isn't a whole lot that's known about Rhonda prior to her committing crimes. And the first time that Rhonda's name appears in newspapers, the headline reads, quote, Mobile waitress, 49, booked at city jail for mates poisoning.
Oh.
It was the illness of her fifth husband, a man named Ronald Martin, in early 1956 that pointed investigators in Rhonda's direction. Once Ronald was hospitalized, test results showed that there was arsenic in his system. So as the person who primarily cooks his meals, this leads, of course, directly to Rhonda's arrest.
Of course.
When she's being brought in by police, she tells them, quote, I don't know why you're doing this. There's nothing to it.
Okay. That's what a guilty person would say.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Police tell the local newspaper at the time that Rhonda appeared sullen and that she chain smoked while she was being questioned. During her questioning, police find out quite a bit about Rhonda's past, specifically about her home life in the past. Mm-hmm. She had been married, like I said, five times during her life. She had a total of seven children, not including stepchildren. About 8 months after the death of her fourth husband, Claude Martin, she married his son, her stepson, Ronald Martin.
Okay. Okay. That's strange, but okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Her stepdaughters, Claude's other children, were not very happy and did not approve of the marriage to their brother. And they moved out of the home shortly after the two were married. He was 21 years her junior.
Oh my God. You know what? I'd be with them. I'd be like, yeah.
I'd be mad too. I'd be like, deuces. Bye. Bye.
See ya. Mm-hmm.
Authorities considered charging Rhonda with incest due to her having married her stepson, but it turns out that when she married Claude, her fourth husband, the divorce from her third husband was not yet final.
He's a mess.
Yes. It's messy. So, of course, it means that she never legally married Claude, and her marriage to Ronald, though creepy as all hell, was in fact legal.
Weird. I don't like this. But okay, if that was her stepson, it really wouldn't be incest because she didn't give birth to him.
Well, at the time, the way that the laws were written was like, even after death, that husband's still your husband.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So
okay. But even still, ew.
Even still ew.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And more ew for him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Really. And it was because of these sordid details of her life that Rhonda's story continued to appear in newspapers. They like could not get enough of her and all the craziness that surrounded her, and the whole story was just incredibly, like I said, very interesting to the public and very sordid and juicy.
Mm-hmm. Juicy.
She described herself as a poor woman that had to endure watching someone she loved die almost every year of her life recently. Mm-hmm. She said that the family members that had died over the years died due to ailments. So a heart attack, pneumonia, a throat disorder, or, quote, infirmaries.
Uh-huh.
She also states in the interview that everybody always said that she spoiled her husbands and everyone that she loved, quote, that's just the way I am.
So, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But 3 days after her initial interview with police, Rhonda confesses to poisoning Ronald, her current husband, stepson, Ronald.
So basically everything she said was bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ronald survived. He did not die from his poisoning. His dad died, Claude, but Ronald didn't die. Okay. He was, however, left incredibly ill and crippled due to the results of the poisoning.
Yeah.
Her comment about the previous family deaths and like how many deaths there were led investigators to exhume the bodies of family members that had died under suspicious circumstances. Exhumed were five of her children, five of the seven children that she had, five were deceased. All five of the children were exhumed. They also exhumed the body of her mother and not only Claude, her fourth husband, but also her second husband. Name unknown to me because I didn't see it in the resources.
Okay.
She confessed in March 1956 to poisoning her mother, to poisoning those two husbands, and to poisoning only three of those five children. She denied killing the other two.
Wow. So she tried to bullshit her way to being innocent. Yep. And then she was like, oh shit, they're actually pulling up the bodies. Yeah, no, I actually did that.
But not those two.
No, but not those, no.
According to Life magazine at the time, she loved getting the get well cards and later the sympathy cards that came with the victims that died, as well as she also made sure that all of them were buried side by side in a private plot. So even though like the kids didn't necessarily belong to the husband, you know what I'm saying? Like she still made sure that they were all buried together.
So she has her trophy. She's like, I did all this.
Yeah. Like it's very like surveying your land. Yeah, I don't know. It's creepy.
It's weird.
It's all creepy. Yeah. Newspapers fed the public as many details as they could, because again, like I said, this is sordid. This is jutsy. We want to know everything. And they wrote about how she committed some of the crimes. So her daughter, Ellen, was poisoned to the point that the child became crippled. And she would then, of course, talk to the neighbors and express how sad she was over the fact that her daughter lost use of her limbs. Mm-hmm. She poisoned her other daughter, Imogene, after the girl asked for a drink of water. But instead, she put powdered poison in a glass of milk and gave it to the child. Jesus seemingly Christ. Just like on a whim for no actual reason, just like on a whim. Her second husband died. She had for several days in a row was putting putting poison in his whiskey that he would have every day when he got home from work.
Uh-huh.
So one day he gets home from work and he's incredibly ill, obviously due to the effects of the poison, right. Starts to like stagger around in the backyard. So she, of course, goes outside and like, oh, let me bring you inside. I'll make you feel better, blah, 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 blah. And she gives him a glass of whiskey. Why I keep calling it Whitney? That's like the second time I've almost said that. Gives him a glass of whiskey with ant poison in it.
Oh, top that off.
He was dead. Yeah. Let me just give you a little something extra.
Uh-huh.
He was dead the next day.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Rhonda was brought to trial only for the death, though, of her fourth husband, Claude. So even though she confessed to the other murders, I'm assuming due to lack of evidence in the actual deaths themselves, she was only brought to trial for Claude's death.
Mm-hmm.
Prosecutors said at the time that they believed two motives were at play. Number one, trying to get him out of the way so she could marry his son. And then also said, though, that the primary motive there, they believe, was collecting insurance proceeds. It was found that she received $2,750 on three insurance policies after Claude died. Do you want to guess at how much that equates to today's money? $2,750 in 1956.
$2,750 in 1956.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to say $200,000.
Oh, wow. You overestimated way more than I was estimating. I underestimated vastly.
Uh-huh.
It's $31,166.
Oh. I'm not good at this game.
But I was just like, oh, okay, $2,750. That's probably what, like $12,000 and some change? Mm-hmm. No,
$31,000. Mm. Still a good chunk of change, though.
Just not sneezing at it. But it does turn out that insurance money likely was not the motive. She collected, at the time, it was only enough to cover burial costs.
Mm-hmm.
She also never admitted that this was the case. So there's really no way to know exactly the why, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Her defense based their case on claiming insanity. Shocker.
I mean, yeah.
It took
that's like crying wolf. Like, you can't blame everything on insanity. You just you can't.
Yeah. It took a jury of 12 men just over 3 hours to find Rhonda guilty. Mm-hmm. When the verdict was read, Rhonda put her head in her hands and sobbed, and she was indeed sentenced to death for her crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Under Alabama law, any death sentence automatically goes to through an appeal process. So it was filed automatically for her, went to the state Supreme Court. The principal witness for the defense was a psychiatrist who testified that he had examined Rhonda and that he was of the opinion she was indeed schizophrenic.
Okay.
He further testified that schizophrenia is a permanent mental disorder, as we know, if it's not being treated, that exists throughout the life of the person who is diagnosed, and that she was likely suffering from a schizophrenic episode at the time that she had poisoned her husband. Now, does that make sense for the other people that she poisoned? I don't know. But this is the claim from this expert.
Okay.
However, an expert opinion from the state was able to, or at least in their expert opinion, rebut her diagnosis.
Yeah.
The Court of Appeals denied the filing and her conviction was upheld, and as was her death sentence. She was executed only 19 months after her arrest.
Wow.
So I even wrote in here, the speed of the justice system is just insane compared to the delays that we see now. We just talked about that last week on our True Crime Headlines episode spoke about the serial killer, the murderer who was executed last week in Florida. He was on death row for almost 30 years compared to 19 months after her arrest, not even after her trial, after her arrest.
Yeah.
She died in the electric chair on October 11th, 1957.
They should have poisoned her.
Right. Rhonda made no final statement at the execution, but she did say in an interview 8 days prior to being executed, quote, "Well, you've never seen anybody who was ready to sit down in the electric chair, but if that's what it's got to be," let me do that again. I burped. Quote, "Well, you've never seen anyone who is ready to sit down in the electric chair, but if that's what it's got to be, that's what it will be."
Wow.
It's a very que sera, sera, whatever will be attitude towards being executed. But
very much so.
Couldn't be me. No. She requested that her body be turned over to medical institution. She said that she wanted people to learn why she did what she did.
Okay.
A note was found in her cell inside of a Bible that read, quote, "At my death, whether it be a natural death or otherwise, I want my body to be given to some scientific institution to be used as they see fit, but especially to see if someone can find out why I committed the crimes I have committed. I can't understand it, for I had no reason whatsoever. There's definitely something wrong. Can't someone find it and save someone else from the agony I have been through?"
Okay, end narcissist. Quote.
Correct. The whole thing, I'm just like, yeah. And then it's, what have I been through?
Yep.
Yes. And I wrote exactly that. The note for sure gives an air of narcissism, stating that she wants to save someone from her own agony rather than those that she harmed or their families.
Yep.
Rhonda, this is just a interesting factoid. She was the last woman to be executed in the state of Alabama up until 2002, when Linda Lyon Block was executed for the murder of a policeman.
Oh, shit.
Her last meal, Rhonda's last meal, consisted of a hamburger, mashed potatoes, cinnamon rolls, and a cup of coffee.
That's decent.
Yeah, I ain't complaining. I would eat that for dinner tonight.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Rhonda died clutching a New Testament in her left hand, and only three people were present when she was buried.
Yeah, because she killed all of them.
Because she killed everybody that knew her. Correct. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is the story of Rhonda Bell Martin.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yep.
It's funny. Well, no, it's not funny. When you think...
Not funny, haha.
Not funny, haha, but funny. Makes you think.
Things make you go,
There are a lot of women in the past that have been serial killers that kill people with poison.
You know, yes, because it's not messy. Correct. That's supposedly like the whole thing. Yeah.
Correct. It's so common, mm-hmm. you know, and like more so in the olden days.
In the olden times.
In the olden times.
Well, that's because people realize that autopsies and you know, tests exist that are going to show that you poison
blood
this person.
Tests and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I know, but it's just like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
Just damn. Wow.
Yep.
Well, shit. I do approve of her last meal, though. I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially those cinnamon rolls, though. Mm-hmm.
Girl, let me tell you. And then, like, the article that I, or the TikTok that I watched where he made it, I was like, he didn't, I don't like the way his cinnamon rolls looked. I'm
really?
Like, you need better cinnamon rolls. Yeah. I wasn't, he didn't.
Were they not cinnamon-y enough?
No, because they looked good, but he didn't put the icing on soon enough and it wasn't melty.
Oh.
Like, you have to put the icing on at the perfect time so that it gets, like, melted into the cinnamon roll. Otherwise, there's just frosting on top of a bun, and it doesn't have the same effect.
No. Because usually if you, like, if I purchase a cinnamon bun and it's like that, I put it in the microwave for a couple of seconds to melt
it.
Yeah,
I want to, like, melt it. I want some...
Because it's supposed to go
to my icing, you know?
Right. And it's supposed to go in between the roll. Like you're supposed to unroll it and it's supposed to be in there.
I agree.
Come on.
And it's not that he, like I said, the burger looked good that he made, and actually so did the mashed potatoes. I was just really disappointed in his cinnamon roll.
That's sad.
He could have done so much better.
Do better. Do
better,
better.
Death Row TikTok guy.
How dare you? Just how dare you?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
but yeah, it's my story.
Well, thank you, Charlie, for sharing
that
story.
You're welcome.
Thank you, TikToker, for giving Charlie the inspiration.
Yes.
Because I always enjoy hearing stories that I've never heard before. I do. It brings me joy. I don't know if that's the right word. It's probably not, but it's better than hearing the same old, same old.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
If you want to be like the Death Row TikToker food guy, and you want to have us tell a story of a criminal that you enjoy, you can send us a story request at our email at bedcrimestoriespod@gmail.com. You can slide into our DMs on the Instagram at bedcrimestories. Wherever you are listening, please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Also, tell all your friends, mm-hmm. every single one of them. If you don't, I will be very upset. Please be kind.
Be the Band-Aid.
It is muy, muy importante that you do that. Kindness makes the world go round. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hope you guys have a great day, rest of your week, whenever you're listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
As always, thank you for listening. We'll see you guys next week. But until then,
sweet dreams.
Our theme song is the song Industrial Music Box by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0.